Does everybody have a fantastic week? Marginal? I heard a yeah over here. Anybody else want to weigh in on this week? Awesome. Busy? Anybody else? Fine or funny? It was a funny week? Cool. Well, I had an okay week, or so I thought. And then I started getting stressed out because we have a bunch of neighbor kids that love to come and play at our house. And I hate kids. I'm just kidding. But we had a bunch of neighbor kids come and play at our house, and our house is kind of the unofficial hub. Which is interesting is all of our neighbors have like grass in their front yards. Ours has rocks. So you would think the kids would love to go play in the grass. Because it's cool, it's green, it's soft. No, they come to my yard and they play in my rocks. And this is like a decorative, some have described it as a Zen garden. We don't get that crazy. We don't go out and rake it or anything. Once we put it into place, we said, you know, it's good. But now it looks very unintentional, like we just threw a ton of rocks in our front yard. Because the kids love to come and play and throw rocks. And so if you can hear my voice, which I hope you can hear that I'm kind of congested a little bit. And I think I've got some awesome like allergies or something going on. So that's all coming into play. And all the kids coming to my house, which we strived hard to be kind of that hub of our community, of our neighborhood, to be that house where kids come to play and hang out. But it was very frustrating to me. It was very frustrating to me this week. And then I get some disappointing news about a friend of mine, and it just kind of started tanking towards the end of the week. And then we get here, and I'm butchering a bunch of stuff on guitar, which I understand that worship isn't about me, but when you start butchering notes on a guitar, you're very self-aware at that moment. and it slowly becomes about you. And so this is who you get this morning. Sound good? So I'm just going to be an angry old cuss up here. I didn't say I was going to cuss. I'm just an angry old cuss. All right? Deal?
Yeah.
Welcome to Whitewater. My name is Adam Koop. I'm one of the pastors here. Was that a better opening, Tanya?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't talk about my mom being hot. Apparently that really embarrassed Tanya, and she's not even my mom, so. I said it again, so I just ruined the opening. Teary-eyed. Good deal. So everybody had a great weekend. Everybody had a fine weekend. Everybody had a funny weekend. Everybody had an okay weekend. What did we learn last week? Last week I was struggling to teach you anything, and I was glad when I looked at the time that I only held you hostage for 30 minutes. I walked off the stage and I said, holy crap. That was not anything coherent, is how I felt. You learned something? Go ahead, raise your hand.
I remember when you teach God said only when you betrayed me, it was
that. Oh yeah, the betrayal of Judas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talked about foot washing and Jesus being the ultimate lover of people and the ultimate servant of people, and that's what's passed down to us. And that's the love we should have for one another, that's the love we should have for everybody else, right? So we're coming out of that. Literally, we're right in the middle of this story. So Jesus hands the bread to Judas, if you remember. Judas eats it, and Jesus says, go do this thing quickly that you're going to do. And what Judas is going to do, that we know since we have the full story, is go and betray Jesus to the officials, to the Jewish officials. And they're going to come, and they're going to take Jesus. It's interesting. Craig and I were talking in staff meeting, and even Tanya, and we were saying how interesting it is that this is just a very brief snapshot of Jesus' life. These next few chapters that we're going in, all of this happened with like in an evening. And we're going to be spending weeks on it. On just this small amount of stuff that went on. And it's mentioned as the farewell discourse. You know, Jesus is, goodbye. I'm leaving. And so Jesus is prepping his disciples. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm headed. And we're right in the middle of this teaching. So right after Judas gets the bread and Jesus tells him, go quickly, do what it is you have set in your mind to do. We're going to pick up with this story. You ready? We're in John 13, verses 31 through 38. And we're going to finish out John 13 this week. So, if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles out on the table that we want to give you a Bible. Do not leave here without a Bible if you don't have one. If you're too shy to take a Bible, download one on your phone for free. There are many great Bible apps. You'll find it right if you search Bibles, all right? Here we go. Verse 31 says this. When he had gone out, meaning Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. I think it's awesome that he's calling these grown men little children. You will seek me just as I have said to the Jews, so now also I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Do you guys remember Jesus talking to the Jews when they're asking him those questions? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another just as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Can we stop there? Can we take a break? Can we pause? If you need a bathroom break, this is the time. So in this farewell discourse, the crux of this message that you see, so you have this foot washing. You have Jesus becoming the servant. You have Jesus serving in this very raw, very real way as a real world example of how we are to be with people. And after Jesus leaves the room, he tells his disciples, you know, now I'm going to be glorified. Now God's going to be glorified because this thing is set in motion. Soon I will not be here because of what Judas is going to tell these officials. Soon they will come and take me. The disciples at this point in time don't understand really what he's saying. They're, what does this mean? But now since we have the full story, it's kind of like Lord of the Rings, you know that Frodo dies in the end. In case anybody hasn't read it or seen the movies. I'm not funny. Okay, cool. So we have this knowledge. We see Jesus and we know what's going on. So he's talking about, you know, God is going to be glorified. And I'm going to be glorified with God as God's glorified. And then he says this interesting thing of, you know, a new commandment I give you, which I find strange because I don't think it's really a new commandment that we're to love one another. Even the Jews had this very strict, rigid system set up, and if you go and read Leviticus, you see the Levitical law, and I think it's Leviticus 19 that talks specifically about how they are to handle one another, how they are to treat one another, and it's very much this loving, respectful way. But Jesus then says, a new commandment I give you, which is just, Jesus, you kind of been talking about this for a while, you know, love one another is as I've loved you. But it comes on the heels, literally, of this foot washing. It comes on the heels of this foot washing of people who are not deserving of this foot washing. It comes on the heels of these people like Judas, who right after he gets his feet washed by Jesus, this beautiful moment in time, in history, and Jesus just can't wait to get out of there and go tell the officials that, hey, Jesus is here. You need to come and take him. He says, love one another as I loved you. And then that's how people will know you're my disciples. It's not a new command. But the way in which Jesus loved and the way in which Jesus just blew the doors wide open of being a servant to this small group of men in this room is a game changer in how we love people and how we love one another. It's interesting to me is So there are some circles within the church that find it easy to love church people. Would you agree? There's some church people that don't find it easy to love church people, but they find it easier to love people outside of the church. Would you agree? But then rarely do those things line up, and then you love both of those people. Rarely do these things line up, and you love both of these people equally, these two people groups. I fall in the later camp. It's easier for me to go out and love someone at the Buckhorn Bar Ballroom than it is to love some of you churchy people some days. That's honest, isn't it? That sucks to say. We should be loving one another, and it's amazing to me, just with, even within the church context, is we have our own little tribe here, we have our own little group here in Whitewater. But then oftentimes we'll look at the church across the street and say, yeah, but those people, they're not us. They're not part of us. Well, wait, they're a disciple of Jesus. What do you mean they're not you? What do you mean they're not on the same team? What? And so we diminish what they do. We diminish who they are. We diminish the way they teach. We diminish their theology. We diminish their doctrine. We diminish those things because they're not us. That sounds loving, doesn't it? Hey, that's the right answer. So we diminish these things within the church. Even with Jesus' clear words of, hey, you know what? You, disciples, church, love one another as I have loved you, and people will see then that you are my disciples. But instead, we have fighting, backbiting, internal struggles. We've got issues and beefs with people that we're sitting by or not sitting by, or we've lived life long enough with each other in the same context, in the same church, that all of a sudden we've lost our luster to one another and we just don't care. But we still want to claim Jesus. We still want to claim the love of Christ. We want to pretend we're something we're not. And it's tough. It's tough. And then on the other side of the camp, I kind of told you the story about all the kids coming and playing on our rocks, right? This week, my wife taught me a sermon. It was very brief, and I didn't want to hear it, probably much like you. It was Saturday, Friday, I don't know. Whatever it was, I wasn't happy. I was pitching a fit about all these kids in the neighborhood loving to come to our home. And it was a huge injustice to me because they came in to our house and would leave our house and come to and fro and leave doors open and, you know, raid our refrigerator. And ask me questions about things. How dare they, these children? These selfish children. They weren't thinking about my time of needing to read, of needing to be to myself. And so my wife gets home, and at that point, there was another adult to just unload on, which spouses, you love that when that happens, right? Right when you walk in the door. And my wife Sherry gets home, and how are you? And we exchange pleasantries, and then the floodgates just open, and I'm just an angry elf. I'm not happy at all. And she just looks at me baffled and said, "Do you hear yourself right now?" Man, I love it when my wife teaches me a sermon. Do you hear yourself right now? Do you know that that's the same thing that you teach is loving one another? And this is the result of us loving our neighbors. This is the result of us loving our neighborhood. This is the result of us. This is everything that we worked for, is being this home, this hub, this safe haven for neighbors and their children. I didn't like hearing it, and I rebutted with something and was very not happy, and don't you talk to me like that. Which is perfectly okay for you, the audience, to shout to me if I'm teaching something you don't like. Don't you talk to me like that. And then I stormed off, you know, and went into my room and hid, and then just fell asleep, and that was the end of the night. This is how awesome I am as a person, as a human being, okay? I'm not funny. I'm an angry troll. There's a great list. My eHarmony page before I was married was really awesome. I'm not funny. Nobody's laughing at this stuff. It's great. So, my wife, this is exactly what we're working for. This is exactly what you teach. This is exactly what Jesus is teaching. And this is something I'm supposed to get up and teach on Sunday, when this very love that I'm supposed to possess, this very love that I'm supposed to have for people, and the majority of our neighbors, the majority of them do not know Jesus in a very real way. And so I can't even love these people that I say it's easy to love people outside of the church. I'm having a hard time with it. Because the selfishness creeps in, this self creeps in and then just vomits out. So you have this thing unlocked with Jesus and the foot washing and his disciples, and what he's telling his disciples to love like. This looks very real, this looks very raw, this looks like something you may not be interested in on any given day. But this is the one thing that I'm asking of you. Love one another as I've loved you, and then people will know that you are my disciples. They will know. And I've got examples of the knowing as well. I went to a good buddy of mine's show this last week, and it was a punk rock group that I've just hung out with for a long time. They live in Denver. And I'm standing at their punk rock show, they get done playing, and he comes up and just starts talking to me. And the majority of our conversations have been at shows. And he starts talking to me, and he starts saying, you know, you're leading other leaders. And I want to let you know that. You're raising up leaders, and that's awesome. Because I know how you are, and I know what you're doing, and I'm just embarrassed, and I'm at a punk rock show, it's hard to hear him, and so I'm just like, whatever. You know, thank you. What? Yeah, great. And then he catches my eye. He says, no, look at me. I'm serious, and I'm sorry if this makes you uncomfortable, but I want to let you know. And this guy doesn't know Jesus. I mean, he's not a Jesus lover. But the love that he has seen from me in the past, the love that he has seen, and I've never had one word about him and Jesus at all. It was me just loving him, loving those around me, and he sees Jesus. He sees this thing that he can't explain. And so you have this atheist or agnostic, I'm not sure which he would claim, coming and seeing this thing that he's 100% behind, because you're leading leaders that love people, and I see that, I recognize that. So you have this beautiful fail, and this is all in 1 week. So you have this beautiful, you know, ego biscuit time at the punk rock show. And then that was on a Tuesday, Wednesday. And then by Friday, here I am, the most unloving creature on the planet with these children in my home. I get it. It's tough. And it's tough because we're selfish. It's tough because we have this way about us that says it should be something different than this. I shouldn't have to love. It shouldn't cost me anything. It shouldn't. The story goes on from here as Jesus tells people to love, and then you see Peter. You guys remember Peter, who last week just was very selfish, very self-centered. Jesus, you're not washing my feet. If I don't, you have no part in me. Well, then if you're going to do that, I need a bath. No, Peter, you don't. I said I'm going to wash your feet, and that's what's good enough for you. You've had a bath. You're clean. Let me wash your feet. And so you see the self of Peter. You see him, not understanding this very loving thing that's happening, not understanding and listening and being obedient to the words of God just in the room, a direct thing that he's asked them to do. I'm going to wash your feet. No, you're not. So Peter hears this very foundational, I've washed your feet. You need to love. This is a new commandment I'm giving you. You need to love one another as I've loved you. And beautiful, beautiful Peter. I resonate a lot with Peter. The only thing he heard Jesus say was, I'm going away for a while. Peter misses this whole love concept. Peter misses this pivotal moment in history. Misses it. I'm going away for a while. Well, where are you going? You can't come there. I want to go there. Peter, I just said you can't. And he just misses this beautiful moment of love. And I wonder how many of us have missed this key verse that sounds so normal, that sounds so mundane, that sounds so love one another. Well, yeah. Well, what does that look like to love one another? And just as Peter loved Jesus, which I have no doubt, in a few hours after this conversation, Peter completely denies the person of Jesus, as we'll hear in the stories to come. The spiritual crap hits the fan, and everything that Jesus said was going to happen starts happening. And Peter denies Jesus after he said, "No, man, I'm going with you." Jesus says at the end of this chapter, "Well, you know, by before the rooster crows this morning, this next morning, you're not going to be there for me." So I get it, it's tough. But we hear this incredible statement of love one another, and somehow we're able to diminish it to, I will love the people that love me. Somehow we diminish it to, I will love the people that it's easy for me to love. I will love the people if it costs me zero time out of my busy schedule. I will love one another if, but only. And we miss it. We focus on the wrong stuff, just like Peter is hearing, "Oh God, where are you going? Wait, what? Where are you going? Peter, did you just hear a word I said?" And somehow we allow ourselves to play this out, much like I did on Friday with these kids. Somehow we allow ourselves to play this out within our families that lasts for years. Years of unforgiveness. Years of not speaking to one another. Years of not loving one another as Jesus loved us. Not only do we do that within our immediate family, then we somehow think that's okay to operate within the church here. We start holding grudges. We start not speaking to one another because something happened at some point that offended us or hurt us or didn't include us or whatever the list goes on, whatever it is. And we start operating in this way and we miss the whole point of God and Jesus. We miss the whole point of Jesus only speaking what God has told him to speak. We miss the whole point of Jesus only doing what God has asked him to do. And that's the very thing that Jesus invites us into. And the reason Jesus is able to carry this out, the reason Jesus is able to make this happen in his life is because of his love for God. It starts with this love. We were talking about this in our group, The Good and Beautiful God. It starts with love, and then obedience is the natural product of this love. You love God so much that your obedience to him is what follows all of this. I don't want you to come on a Sunday morning and misread me and say, you need to be obedient, and then God will love you. You need to be obedient to win the love of God. God has already loved you. God has loved you since the beginning of time. God has loved you since you were created. God has loved you since you, I won't describe the birthing process, but you get the picture. In your mother's warm womb, I formed you. I know you. I love you. And it's this longing that we have, you know, what is this to be loved? What is this to give love. What is this to be love? And Jesus is the game changer on all of it. Jesus is the extreme embodiment of love. And he commands us, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And as I started thinking of my own story, as some of you have heard my story, my knowing of Jesus, my understanding of Jesus at 11 years old, and then there was this big chasm in time of where I did nothing with my love of Jesus or my knowledge of Jesus. I sat on it. I did nothing with it. And then I was able to justify all of these un-Jesus-like things in that amount of time. And then I got to the point where I was so tapped out and so upset with how things were going in my life because they didn't reflect the very love of Jesus. They didn't jive with the very faith that I said I had. They didn't connect at all. And I came to empty. I ran out of gas because I couldn't just do it on my own. So face down in the mud, face down in this dirt and this really gravelly road, I just said, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. And it was this love and this recognition of God for who God was at that moment. Not what God could give me, not what I hoped God would be or should be. It was this beautiful moment of saying, God, I love you enough that I'm done. I'm done playing the game, I'm done playing around, I'm done messing with any of this stuff. And then since that time, I mean, this is 8 years since that moment, okay? Since that time, I've just watched this entire world of mine change and be remade. As I've expressed this love to God, as I'm sharing in the love that God had for Jesus, that God had enough for us to send Jesus, that's the stuff that we get to partake in. It's nothing different than what Jesus has. You understand that? But it came at this moment where I had nothing else. God, I love you. I love you so much that I understand that my way is just ridiculous. Thanks for letting me live all of these years like this. But I'm done. And then I start watching God as I'm there, as I'm done, as I'm submitting finally, years later. I watch God start to move. I watch God start to speak in these wild ways. And because of this love that I've expressed towards God, God, it's not words, it's not lip service, it's not that. It's a love for God, it's a love for His way, it's a love for watching people change around me that have been infected with God, that have encountered God. And that's what changes lives. That's what legitimizes your discipleship. That is what discipleship is, you loving one another. You loving people. You want to know what the next step is for you? Love one another. You want to know what the next step is? Love your family. You want to know what the next step is? Love your neighbor whose dog craps in your yard. You want to know what the next step is? Love these neighbor kids that are coming in and destroying your rock yard. And then people will know that you are disciples of Jesus without you having to say a word. So let's stop being like Peter. Let's stop missing the point. Let's focus in on what Jesus has asked us to do. God, we love you. And I say that every week. God, we love you. But I know there's people here that don't. I know there's people here that do not share these same views of who you are, of who you say you are, of who Jesus is, of what Jesus has asked of us, of what you've asked of us through Jesus. You got to recognize that. But that doesn't stop me from praying for these people. God, we want to love you as Jesus has loved us. And as I've recognized over these past 8 years, that love is tough. That love is hard to play out day after day after day after day. Because of myself, my missing the point. So, Father, we just pray that you continue to mold us, shape us into your image as we love in this community, in this context, and as we love in our community of Laramie or wherever we're at, as we love the world around us, as we love our neighbors, as we love those selfish children that throw our rocks around. God. God, as we love those teachers that push us. God, as we love those in our lives that try to develop us in ways that lead us closer to you. God, as we love one another and not hold grudge against one another, but make every effort to love them as Jesus loved us. God, make this real in our minds this morning. Make this real in our hearts this morning. This love is the love that you have for us. And everything we do should reflect you. Everything we say should reflect you. God, may we cling to this commandment. May we not miss the point. May we love as Jesus loved. It's in your name we pray. Amen.